this week on the Time Bat Show.
Now, I have another one, and this actually came from my wife, and it will sound crazy, but I guarantee you, if you try it, it will be delicious.
All right, what do you got? Which is
peanut butter and grilled hot dogs.
What? No way. No. Absolutely. I don't believe you. I think that was good.
Good.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 32. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And we have a special guest today. Dyslexic Coder is joining us today. How's it going?
Doing good, you two? How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well.
I'm doing pretty good.
Doing well today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've been trying to get more guests show lately it's been fun to have different people, so that's cool. So Bats, did you do any pre-show rituals today?
I did.
Did you? I hear you did multiple.
Yeah, I did my usual. I did the jumping jacks and you know, drinking honey straight from the bear. And then the one you kind of caught me doing as we began this call was I was actually eating a sandwich before the show.
Tell our listeners, A, what the sandwich was made of, and B, what you did with the sandwich.
Okay, it was a peanut butter and honey sandwich. I really like honey. And I was eating it really quickly because I had just woken up, and you were calling me. And I guess instead of eating the sandwich the way a normal person would, chewing it and swallowing it, my body decided that it would be faster to try to breathe in the sandwich.
And was that efficient? Was that good for you?
It caused me to choke and cough, and I was coughing.
You were coughing for like 30 minutes while we were preparing this episode. I just wanted to let you know. I hope you continue to do that.
When you get like dry bread and honey and like peanut butter in all in your throat, it doesn't become unadhered to the throat very easily.
So, yeah. Mike, so is that your go-to, peanut butter and honey?
Yeah.
My go-to is peanut butter and jelly. Dyslexic Coder, do you have a go-to sandwich that you eat?
I would say the go-to would probably be peanut butter and jelly, but I'm with Bats on the fact that, yeah, peanut butter and honey is...
I've never definitely had peanut butter honey before. I need to try it.
You gotta try that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's
two things I like, right? I like peanut butter a lot. I like honey a lot. I've just never thought to combine them together before.
Now, I have another one, and this actually came from my wife, and it will sound crazy, but I guarantee you, if you try it, it will be delicious.
All right, what do you got? Which is
peanut butter and grilled hot dogs.
What? No way. No. Absolutely. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
So the trick. No, go ahead.
How do you prepare the hot dog?
You got to grill them. You can't boil them or put them in a microwave. They've got to get like some crispy skin on them and be pretty hot.
Yeah.
And you use toast instead of just dry bread because you want the heat to kind of melt the peanut butter.
Peanut butter in between the toast. Yeah.
Yes. Peanut butter on toast, and then you put the hot dog on there. That's kind of that greasy, crispy skin on it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It took me a really long time. I think like 3-4 years before I would even try it. She kept pestering me about it, but then I was like, all right.
Like, trust me, it's going to be good. Like, I don't know.
No, I don't think it will.
Yeah. And I went through that whole cycle, and then I did, and now I tell everyone else about it because it is.
No, it's a great sandwich. Yeah. I would never have guessed that. I thought you were going to say something like peanut butter and granola or something that's not, I don't know. I was expecting meat and peanut butter.
I was expecting pickles because I've tried that.
Ew, that sounds really bad.
It's not bad. But not hot dogs.
Peanut butter and everything. Like, I feel like peanut butter complements, like, sweet things really well. It complements, like, fruit really, really well. But just, like, anything that's, like, salty, or not salty, anything that's, like, meaty or, like... like pickles, like no, like I don't know, but maybe I don't know. Hot dogs do have a It doesn't sound good, but I trust you. I trust you.
That's good.
There's like some. I knew someone growing up that ate like peanut butter and like it was some kind of like lunch meat on a sandwich. It was like chicken or like bologna. Turkey or something, and it was weird. I never tried that. Is that gross?
I don't know how cold meat and peanut butter doesn't sound appealing in the least to me.
No, but I remember he would like swear by that. Like he would have that one every day, like in like middle school or something. And I'd be like, "How do you eat that? It sounds disgusting." But I don't know. Maybe it'll be good.
Maybe his mom just didn't have enough to like pack him for lunch one day and was just like, screw it. Just peanut butter.
And then he like was like, "Mom, that was really good." And she's like, "Yeah, that's an old family secret." And then they just like, she just made that for him for the rest of his life. She just tricked him into that thing. And then he loved it forever.
Maybe he can find that thing.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Maybe she was like, she wasn't thinking when she was making her lunch. Like, it was really early in the morning. She hadn't had her coffee yet. Uh-huh. She was like, she would have two separate thoughts. Like, oh, I'm going to make him a bologna sandwich today, and I'll make him a peanut butter sandwich today. And it just wound up combining.
Maybe she had two children. One of them wanted a peanut butter and jelly, and one of them wanted a bologna and cheese or something. And she just combined the two sandwiches together. She
stuffed the wrong halves.
Right. So, like, one got peanut butter and bologna, and the other got, like, cheese and jelly.
I mean, I've done stuff like that before. Like,
cheese and jelly. Yeah. Mm, that sounds good.
As a kid, we'd run out of milk at my house sometimes, mm-hmm. and I would end up eating cereal with high C.
Does that come in multiple flavors, or is that just like the red?
I mean, it was just red high C. I don't know.
So it's like fake strawberry flavor or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing quite as sugary as high C, and then you know, like Fruit Loops or whatever.
Fruit Loops and high C sounds like a dangerous combination to eat for a child. Like yeah, just yeah. bounce off the walls. Oh, that sounds great, though. So, what is all our jelly preferences, our jam preferences? I'm a strawberry jam kind of guy myself. But, you know, what about you guys?
I think I'm going to have to lean into strawberry, though mm-hmm. I like raspberry and some other berries. I think strawberry tends to be...
Jelly, jam, or preserves, though. Right? Like three different... I know.
Hard. Whichever one's on sale.
I always do jam. I do go for jam.
I think jam, not the preserves, have got just way too many chunks of fruit in them.
Yep, too.
It's like you can't even spread that, right? Like
no, it's not even. It's not even a spread anymore. It's like fruit that they put in a blender and then they just like didn't blend it all the way. That's what it feels like to me. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that'd be good on like a maybe like a cracker or something. I don't know, but yeah, on a sandwich. What about you, Bets? What do you think?
I like the blackberry, and yeah, I agree with you. Like, if you have preserves and you're trying to spread it on bread, it's so thick that it'll destroy the bread, like the texture of the bread.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Same reason I can't do chunky peanut butter. Although I like chunky peanut butter.
Same. That's, but yeah. I prefer smooth for sandwiches.
Yeah.
Now see, that's I differ there. I gotta have chunky.
You go with chunky.
You gotta have that
chunky's
extra
good. It's good. I just I don't know. It's too much crunch. But I like it though. Okay. Well, we've talked about sandwiches. Oh, you had another sandwich thing. I can't believe we're going sandwich crazy on this episode. Bats,
I really like sandwiches.
You said something earlier that you wanted to mention that you tried for the first time like yesterday. Or recently.
I tried Vegemite for the first time last week.
Which is what? Explain it to people that don't know what
Vegemite is. It's brewer's yeast extract.
Oh, I didn't even know that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like vegetable something. Okay, that's a lot grosser than I thought. I think
there's spices of some kind in it, but it's just like leftover beer yeast, I think.
is this an Australian thing?
Yeah, it's you know, you hear the song "The Man Makes a Vegemite Sandwich."
Right? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's that stuff.
Is it good?
I like it. I don't think it's for everybody, though.
Have you ever had Vegemite?
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who has had it a few times. Like, he has it at his house.
You swear?
And I tried it once, and it was probably one of the most revolting things I've ever tried. So I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum.
See, I feel like I would be a, yeah, that's one of the most revolting things I've ever tried. I feel like I'd be in that camp. I've never had it, though.
But I like peanut butter hot dogs, so.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I don't know where I stand.
Like, it's like really salty and has kind of a weird.
You're really selling me on this. It's really salty and it's weird. Like, great.
It's like a combination of soy sauce and a swamp.
Why would you have that on a sandwich? Why would you put that on a sandwich? Good. You want salty soy sauce swamp spread on a sandwich? Like, I don't want that. So it's supposed to be on a sandwich, though. That's the point. Or, like, on toast or whatever, right?
Yeah, or with cheese.
Mm-hmm. How have you prepared? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, that to me just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you take basically mashed up stuff that you would use to make bread and then spread it on more bread?
Yeah, that
it's
is.
Like that's bread spread on
counterintuitive.
Bread.
Counterintuitive. Extra bread. And it's not even, like, the good parts of how to make bread. It's like, this is the yeast. We have to use this to make bread or the bread won't rise. I feel like if I was spreading something on toast and put cheese on it, I would just use butter and make a grilled cheese sandwich. But that's just me. I don't know. So it's salty. What's like what's like the closest thing, say, to vegetable?
There's like weird pickles.
you're really selling this for me. So my homework after this episode is try a hot dog and a peanut butter sandwich and try vegetable. And I'm going to bet you if I had to like one of those, it would be the hot dog one. I don't think, after your description, it sounds like Vegemite is not my thing. Okay. So I have another thing. So many pre-question things today. I was talking to someone on Twitter today, right? And they're basically going over, they have guests in town, right? And they're like, oh, you know, before you have guests, you got to clean your house or your apartment or whatever, like, everyone does that, right? We can all agree that, like, that's just a thing to do before you get, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
obviously. So, like, he was like, oh, so I have to do all these chores. I can't, you know, I don't have a lot of free time. Like, I need to clean my whole house today and tomorrow before they come. I'm like, all right, you know, you can do that. And then I had this discussion of, like, what I do is because I barely ever, like, I'm a very lazy person. I don't clean very often. So when someone comes, I'm cleaning, but I'm cleaning as much as, like, I would be cleaning as a normal person and then the extra cleaning that you do to, like, clean for guests. So I'm basically doing, like, double duty of cleaning. But it's still not going to clean everything because, like, if you live in a large enough place or there's enough stuff that gets dirty, you're not going to be able to, like, 100% like, oh, it's all spotless, whatever. So if someone's going to come to your house, they're obviously going to be like, you know, if they're vigilant, they'll be like, oh, I see you need to clean that, or that's still dusty or whatever. And then so like my excuse always, no matter what, when someone comes over to my house is, oh, I'm sorry the house is so messy. Like, I just did a quick cleaning, even if I did it for like 3 days. Like, I'll say, like, I quickly tidied up. So then I create the illusion of, like, my house is always this basic level of cleaning, and I just, like, tidied up a little bit, when in reality, like, my house is, like, really dirty all the time, and I can't believe I'm kidding, but whatever. Anyway, so I wanted to get what other people did for that. Thoughts? Concerns? Questions?
Well, I have a pretty small place, and it's easy to clean, and I kind of like cleaning, so...
Yeah, you're weird.
I'm weird.
Do you have any thoughts?
That's pretty clean. There's two things that I really slack on, though.
It's
laundry. I tend to leave laundry around everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's someone coming, I'm obviously not going to have, like, laundry all over the
floor. Well, the key to laundry, in my opinion, is just put it in the closet, and then they want to see your...
Exactly. Just put it, you know, out of sight.
Out of sight, out of mind. They won't even know. They'll be like, oh, yeah, he's put all his clothes. Do you have any thoughts on cleaning?
Well, so I've got, like, about 200 pounds worth of dogs between two dogs.
So there's hair all over the place.
There's hair everywhere constantly. It doesn't matter how often you sweep and vacuum in my house. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a Rottweiler, and he's just kind of a giant furball. So it's like, I can literally vacuum and sweep the floors, and 30 minutes later, it's just another carpet of hair on the floor. So there's like this kind of, I can't clean my house like too
fast
early because it just, gets so dirty again so fast that I might as well just wait like a couple of days.
Right.
So it's usually like, okay, we've got people showing up at 5 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. Let's go ahead and
vacuum,
get the floors clean.
Yeah.
Put everything away.
And then while they're there, the floors will become more hair everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but the Rottweiler loves everybody, so then his hair gets on them, and it's like, it works out.
See, I feel like people have a mutual understanding when it comes to, like, dogs. It's like, whatever, you got a dog. Like, you have an excuse while your place is, like, somewhat dirty. I have, like, absolutely no excuse. So, like, that's, like, my big issue. So I'm just a terrible, like,
Yeah. But you know what the ultimate excuse for having just not
what
even bothering to pick up anything is having a
what
kid.
Is that? Ooh, that's good. See, now I just
once you have a kid, like, you can just basically let your house just go to hell.
And people will understand,
like,
you have a kid.
You've got a kid. Yeah, that's fine.
See, that's the end game for me. I'll just, like, I won't have to clean ever again. Well, I will, but I'll have to pick stuff up, like, in the way. Like, you know, Legos on the floor or whatever, but, like, every other time, it's just be like, oh, your house is disgusting. It's like, well, yeah, that's what happens when you have a kid, you know? That's what happens.
I spend all my cleaning energy on them.
Exactly. I spend all my energy, period, on them.
Yeah.
That's smart. Oh, man, that's a good excuse. See, I feel like having children, like, I'm going to eventually have children. I don't know when, but I'm going to. I feel like half the like, reason, and this is a bad reason, is to, like, have excuses for so many things.
Yeah.
Like, it gets you out of a lot of stuff. It sounds so horrible, like, saying it out loud. But it's completely true.
Okay, it's not horrible, though, because you're taking all of the energy that you would spend on, you know, kind of relatively useless stuff and just channeling it somewhere really productive.
Yeah, I mean, really productive.
Like,
I don't know if it's really productive. Well, yeah, I see.
I mean, like, supporting another life form.
No,
is very productive.
Sure. In the grand scheme.
I agree with that.
Yes, I guess my wording was weird. Yes, I understand. But, I don't know. I feel like it does open the door for, like, oh, sorry, I can't do that. Got a kid. Or, like, hey, why didn't you do that? Like, oh, I have a kid. Or, like, if someone invites you somewhere you really don't want to go to or something like that, it's like, sorry, little Matthew is causing a big stink today, you know, or whatever. Like, you can't go or whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely been a conversation that I've had with regards to, like, you know, the holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas is like, you know, once we have a kid, like, we don't have to go anywhere to see family. Like, my family lives in Dallas, so it's like, we've got a kid, so we're just going to stay home for Christmas. We're
going
to do that 4-hour drive.
Yeah, that's going to be a long journey with the kid, so, like, we can't do that now.
You guys come see us, but we're not going anywhere.
I don't know. I have, like, my family is all over in Florida, and my wife's family is in Ohio, so it's we're screwed. Like, if we have to travel, it's like, oh, we have to make, like, a whole giant arrangement. But yeah, children's like, nope, just gonna stay here. Like, if you want to see little Matthew or whatever the hell his name is or her name is, you have to come to us. You have to come to Austin. I don't know. See, I'm building an excuse library of what things I can do as when I have what things I can get out of. Okay, so I had an animal news story that I want to share with them. I don't know if you're familiar with this lexicon, but we try to have, like, some stupid animal story in every single one. And they're always really, they're always really stupid. So forgive them if it's really bad. I don't know if this is a hoax. I feel like this is a hoax. But anyway, in Vancouver, there was a abandoned building that I think used to be a hospital that a pigeon created a nest out of hypodermic needles. and there was like a picture online with like eggs and stuff. And I'm starting to think after reading the story, this is like some kind of weird, like, police. Commentary. Yeah, like they like set it up to like make it look like, you know, there's like something going on when there's really not. Like the tweet that goes along with it is pigeon spotting making nests out of needles in some abandoned building's emergency room. Sad reality of opioid crisis. Frontline, not staged. There's a hashtag not staged in the tweet. Like it says not staged. Hashtag not staged. Like, which kind of leads me to believe that it's kind of staged. But maybe yeah. not. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're going to tweet something that's real, you don't need to tweet hashtag not staged at the end.
Yeah, that's a weird qualifier.
Like,
they used.
Why did you put not staged? That's
like, no, I wasn't going 80 in a 70, officer. I'm definitely not lying to you.
Yeah, like, I'm not lying. What are you talking about? Even though you totally caught me. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's rubbing me the wrong way. And then there's, like, this, you know, commentary on, like, oh, there's a big drug problem here, blah, 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 blah. So I think it's, like, more of, like, a commentary. Like, it's a publicity thing. Which, like, that's fine if they want to do that. Like, that's, like, a good ad or something, right? Like, I think that would, like, you know, if they want to do, like, an anti-drug ad, right?
Are there any pigeons in the nest? Are there birds in it?
No, there's eggs, though. There's eggs. Like, that's what why it looks like a nest.
So there's, they found a nest of hypodermic needles with eggs in it and
okay,
no birds.
So let me paint you the whole picture. It's an abandoned room. There's a sink. There's hypodermic needles all over the sink. And there are three eggs laying on top of the hypodermic needles. Jeez. And the needles are spread out kind of in like a nest-like fashion, if you will. You know? Like,
is there any other debris in there?
As if the needles were like straws.
Hay.
No, there's nothing else in there. I mean, there's a lot of dirt and stuff. Like, it's abandoned. Hell.
That's totally fake.
Yeah, like... I mean... I know that those things aren't exactly heavy, but it's more like the could the pigeon actually move them in order to build the nest? Or is this just like... A sink that a bunch of people had put hypodermic needles in? Was this hospital abandoned because the nursing staff just didn't have a common sense, like, cleanliness?
Right. They're just like, let's throw them in the sink. Where do we put the needles? Throw them in the sink. Or maybe
and use them later.
Maybe they thought, like, oh, this hospital's closing anyway. We don't need to, like, throw them in the biohazard thing. Let's just throw them in the sink. It'll be fine. Also, like, how does that even, like...
Doesn't the bird need to sit on it to lay the eggs?
Yes, there's so many things about the story. We're just pulling this onion wide open. We're just, like, ripping off the layers and stealing what's wrong. So one thing, to your point, like, they're a lot heavier than hay or, like, straw. So, like, I feel like, and they're bulkier. And I feel like after one, the pigeon's going to pick it up and, like, nope, that's not a twig or whatever, right? Like, nope, that ain't what I want. Like, let me put that back down. And then...
Yeah.
In this story, they would pick one up and they'd be like, yep, this is good. I'm going to get 50 more of these and put them down in the sink. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
In a sink, yeah.
Yeah, like, in a
thing that's already basically a nest by itself, so I'm going to pile more stuff into it.
Right, it doesn't make any sense. And the other thing that doesn't make sense is where are they getting all these hypodermic needles? Like, if this is a hospital, they're going to dispose the hypodermic needles in, like, a biohazard disposal bag. But if the hospital's about to close down, they're going to remove that from the property.
I think the narrative they're trying to sell is that it's like there's people in the abandoned building
doing drugs.
Their own hypodermic
needles. I didn't get that. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Then they're putting them
in this thing.
Wouldn't then the story be like, hey, look at all these people in an abandoned hospital?
Like, just look at this picture we got of all these people doing drugs in the abandoned hospital. Yes, I feel like that would be the story. But
that's way more poignant than, like, a bird's nest of hypodermic needles.
Like a picture of people doing drugs in this abandoned hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I feel like also has, like, an additional connotation of, like, hey, our healthcare system sucks because we have an abandoned hospital that's now being used to shoot up drugs rather than have been kept open and treating people.
Right. I don't really get it. Well, anyway, I think this was a, I think this was not staged, if you will. Hashtag not staged. So that's how many questions you got today.
I don't have any questions.
You have none. Oh, I'm so happy that you have no questions.
I saw a good movie this week, though.
Okay, talk about the good movie while I figure out what question to ask.
Okay. I saw Arrival this week, and it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it, too. Just looks at Coda. Have you seen Arrival?
I haven't. I've heard good things about it, though.
You should see it. It's just a really nice sci-fi drama.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
Yeah, I really... Any movie that is a first contact movie with benign aliens is my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. Okay, Dyslexic Coder, I have a question directly for you.
All right.
Okay. This is completely off the wall. What is the most pretentious word that someone can say that immediately makes you, like, hate or dislike the person that said it? What's the most pretentious word you can think of? That you'd be like, oh, you're just trying to show off with that.
That's a tough one.
I know.
There's a good one.
Do you have a good one? What do you have?
I got a good one. Furthermore.
Furthermore. I use that sometimes. Are you calling me pretentious?
No, I'm just saying.
No, you're just saying that I'm pretentious when I use furthermore.
Okay. Let me throw a sentence out.
Qualify it, yeah. Okay. Please.
Hot dogs are not sandwiches. They are actually a lasagna. Furthermore.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, you're right. That does sound pretentious. I feel like furthermore sounds like you're trying to prove a scientific theory, you know, at the moment of doing it. Like, furthermore, blah, 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 blah.
I feel like that's just kind of a, like, I want to keep talking, but I don't understand the structure of a sentence and how to stop it
before so I start. So I'm going to use the word furthermore.
It's like using too many ands.
Yeah. Oh, like, you don't want to use another and, so you're like, what word do I know that's better than and? Oh, furthermore. And it takes a long time to say, so you can kind of think a little longer.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of a replacement for, like, a natural, like a natural pause.
Yeah. I mean, I use it, too, but...
Yeah. I don't know.
So...
Oh, go ahead.
I think I've got two, and it really depends on context.
Yeah.
The first one is going to be paradigm.
That's because, a really good one.
Yeah, like, used in a, you know, joking way of, like, I realize this sounds ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm fine with paradigm.
Right. It's kind of a fun word.
Yeah. Fits a certain thing, but, like, if you use it in an overly serious way, it's just basically a giant eye roll from me.
Like, we're gonna need to shift the paradigm, guys, in order to do this correctly. Yeah.
Which I feel bad about even saying that one, because I definitely use it.
Yeah.
But I never use it in that, like, really serious academic way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good irony word.
A lot of, like, companies, like business plans will be like, we're gonna do a paradigm shift. Shift. It's always used the shift, right? Like, shift the paradigm, or not necessarily shift, but like if you're thinking of like the big picture, it's like our paradigm is these are our core values of the paradigm of the synergy and the I don't know, the synergy is a good one too.
Well, and like in that situation. 90% of the time, if you ask the person, like, well, what are we shifting the paradigm from? What is the current paradigm that we're in? Like, they can't tell you.
I have no idea.
It's like, do you actually understand what the word means?
No, you'll be like, what's the current paradigm and what's the target paradigm? And they'll be like, I don't know.
The target paradigm is the future of paradigms.
Oh, see? No, you have to just explain it away. Like, the target paradigm is the paradigm we're trying to shift to vis-a-vis the synergistic approach through the furthermore, we will... I don't know. You just keep using buzzwords until you land on something. What was the other one you had? You said you had two.
The other word is pedantic.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I don't even know what pedantic means. It's because it's used so many times.
The best understanding I have it. Well, it's like overtly long-winded. So mm-hmm. basically, you know, what we're talking about when somebody yeah. starts using words like furthermore and paradigm, and it's like,
okay,
you're just being pedantic. You've gotten really pedantic.
So I just looked it up, and it was like Google told me, like, pedantic, adjective, of or like a pedant. Like, I don't know what a pedant is. And then I go to dictionary.com, and it's funny that we were talking about pretentious words, because the first definition of pedantic is adjective, ostentatious in one's learning.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? What? I don't even know what ostentatious means either. And then I have to look up ostentatious. And it's characterized by or given to pretentious or conspicuous show in attempt to impress others.
Austin. So, pedantic means literally to be pedantic.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, there you go. Pedantic means yeah. that.
That's a word that describes itself.
I feel like Austin. Yeah. Pretentiousness, basically. So,
yeah.
If you're pedantic, you're being. So if yeah. two pretentious people were talking to one another, one of them would say, one of them would say something about shifting the paradigm vis-a-vis doing something furthermore, and then the other would say, like, oh, you're being pedantic.
And they would both just be being pedantic.
And they'd both pretentious be being pedantic assholes. And pedantic and pretentious. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have time for one more before sure. we let you go? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've got
you don't more. Have any... questions, Bats? You have zero questions.
I have zero questions.
You're the worst co-host in the whole world. I have trivia
questions.
Ooh, maybe we should do... that would be a fun segment. What do you prefer to be asked one trivia question or one extra, like, advice, random, whatever, ask Reddit question? What do you prefer? I know it's tough.
I'm gonna swallow my shame and say a trivia question.
Oh yes, let's do it.
All right, so I'm gonna let you choose your category.
All right,
the categories are either bird, video games, or Australia.
give them the lifelines. You get to have one lifeline too, which is a stupid rule, but we're gonna let you do it.
Yeah, and you can choose a lifeline, and the choices you can have are a 5-second Google search. A 10-second Bing search, 30-second Yahoo search. You can have 50-50 Monty Hall, which is similar to 50-50 but way more fun. Or Rhyme Time, or Ask
Don't give
Friend.
Them Rhyme Time. That one's too easy.
Okay.
And then ask a friend. You can ask whoever a friend. You want.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the Monty Hall.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
What category?
Seems the most straightforward. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to have to do video games.
Okay. That's a good call.
So, your video game question for today is the Sega chant, you know, the one that turns on when you power on a Genesis. It's like, Sega.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
The Sega chant that plays on power on took up this much of the total data in Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
Oh, crap.
Is it A, 1/5 of the total data? Is it B, 1/6 of the total data? Is it D, C, 1/7 of the total data? Or is it D, 1/8 of the total data?
I love this question. I can't believe it's that big.
It's big, apparently.
So do you want to use Money Hall?
Well, first I want to ask, do I get to know how much total data was there?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, I don't have that, unfortunately.
Oh, I think I can find that out. Is it Sonic the Hedgehog?
It's the Sonic the Hedgehog 1 for Sega Genesis.
Total data.
I mean, because it's a big difference if it's like...
No, it's true.
A
16
meg game or a 32 meg game. Like, that shifts.
You're absolutely right. You know, the Wikipedia page does not have the bite size for Sonic the Hedgehog. I feel like that should be... in, like, the about section of the game.
Yeah, it's so, either a 5th, a 6th, a 7th, or an 8th.
All right, so if I do 50-50 the Monty Hall, I get to pick one to keep, right?
Yeah, Martin Hall will be, you'll pick one to keep, I'll eliminate two, and then you'll have the option to stay or switch.
All right. I'm going to pick the 1/5.
Okay, you're locking in 1/5 of the data?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to eliminate 1/6 and 1/7.
Oh, man, so that was either...
That's the one
you wanted. It's going to be one of those two extremes.
It takes up 1/5 of the data in Sonic the Hedgehog 1, or D, it takes up 1/8 of the data in Sonic the Hedgehog 1. I think that's either, 20% or 16.6%?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big either way it's you big. Look at it.
Yeah, it's a pretty massive piece of the game there.
It's like a 2-second chant.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
That's tough. You know what? I'll say 1/8.
D, 1/8. That's your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Would have been embarrassed if I'd gotten that one wrong.
Sega Chan takes up 1/8 of all the data in Sonic the
Hedgehog 1. Great. Wow, that was... I mean, I'm glad it was the lower one, rather. But still, that's a lot of data. I'd like to know how much Sonic...
Yeah, can you imagine any video game spending 1/5 of its total data?
In 2017, that would be really hilarious, right? Yeah. Like, the game's like 50 gigs or whatever, and it's like... It's like 8 gigs is like it's like the load up chant or something.
It's not even Sonic an FMV or
yeah. The new Sonic should do that.
Yeah, they should have just like an ultra lossless high fidelity Sega sound chant at the beginning
with like it's in like a resolution way higher than like everything else in the game. It's in like 4K or something like that.
No, it's in like 100K
of audio data.
Right. But they'd have the logo too, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would
it's still just the same pixelated image. It's just rendered.
it's just a giant like texture.
Yeah.
Like 8,000 by 8,000 texture or something. Sega. I mean, it would be a really good looking logo.
Yeah, you can really see those pixel definitions.
Yeah, I can see each pixel in the Sega logo. They should do that. I would enjoy that. I actually would, because that would be like a gig of data. Textures take up a lot of memory. People don't realize this. Textures are enormous. They take up so much memory. Sorry, that was a tangent. But that's just a bit. Especially today. Okay, well, great job. I don't have a prize for you prepared, because I didn't know we were going to do trivia. But I will think of something and get back to you.
All right.
It probably will be really bad, so just be forewarned that it's not going to be. You're not going to get like a gift card or anything like that. It's going to be like, here you go. I don't even know what it's going to be because it's so bad. But thanks so much for joining us on this episode. This was really fun. We would love to have you back sometime. That was a lot of fun.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Do you want to like plug your Twitter or anything like that? You have a minute to say whatever you want, free reign, or you can just sign off, whatever.
If you want to get in touch with me, my Twitter is Dyslexicoder. That's spelled C-O-E-D-R, so dyslexia and then C-O-E-D-R. Otherwise, cool. You guys have fun with the rest of this, and maybe I'll be back sometime.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it. All right, have a good one.
You too.
See you later.
Right, bye-bye. All right, we're back, everyone.
And we're back with episode 32 of the Time Bat Show.
Episode 32 of the Time Bat Show. That was Dyslexicoder in the last segment. Probably heard that. We're not going to split this one up like we did last time, because last time... screwed up the recording, but we didn't do that this time. So we got through like a good part of the show, and you spent a trivia question, which is fine. I'll just have 2 trivia questions today,
but I can make one up
that's what we'll do. We'll do a make one up off the top of your head. Are you ready to just go full barrel into the rest of these Reddit questions that I have for us today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Barrel of fun with that. All right, I'm gonna just rapid fire. If you were a multimillionaire, if you suddenly... This question is really poorly worded. If a multimillionaire would suddenly be What the hell is this? How is this question worded? Okay, let me give you the gist. If you're a multimillionaire and you suddenly become a middle class citizen,
right? Okay,
you're a multimillionaire and then something happens and you become like middle class. What is the biggest everyday inconvenience or lifestyle change for him or her considering their new status?
Well, I'll point out something kind of sad, and that's multimillionaires are kind of middle class.
Well, it depends on where they live.
Yeah.
They live in, like, California, yes. But if they live...
Missouri.
Yes.
Let's... No offense to our Missourians. That's some good real estate.
Value. Yeah, if they're there, they're good. So let's just assume they're multimillionaires. Like, they're well off. Yeah, they're well off.
What's the biggest inconvenience? Okay.
A maid. So, having a maid.
They took a pay cut at their job, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, they have to... Maybe they don't get to fly first class anymore. They have to wait in line.
That's the biggest inconvenience, you think, of not flying first class.
I don't know. I've never been a multimillionaire. I'm not really sure what it's like.
So you would say flying first class. That's the biggest inconvenience. Not, like, people doing everything for you or anything like that.
I guess having a maid would be nice.
Let's talk about all the things you'd do if you're a multi. Like, all the things you would hire people to do, right?
I would have basically the same life.
Actually. I wouldn't. If I was a multimillionaire? Okay, first of all, I would have someone clean my house. Not every day, but, like, weekly, you know? Because I don't want to do that. We've already been over that earlier in the show, you know? I'm not doing that, so they're going to do it. Someone else would do it. And then also, someone mow my lawn and, like, make my lawn all nice so I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, yard people.
Yeah, yard people. Is that what they call them these days?
Yeah.
Joe's yard people. Come on down to Joe's yard people where the people will do the yard. Yeah, so I'd get yard people. I'd get cleaning people. I feel like I'm already becoming more derogatory to, like, the lower class, right? Like, just in this hypothetical. Yes, I would have yard people, and I would have lawn people.
I don't think it's like that, though. I mean, maids and yard people are okay to have. That's not like, you don't have to be super rich to have those.
I would have lawn people and yard people. And I would
King
have
of the castle.
I would have a butler who would be named Watson and a cook. No, I wouldn't have a cook. I don't think a multimillionaire is a cook. You're not rich enough. Like, back in, like, you know, 60, 70 years ago, sure, you're rich enough. But, like, today, you're not rich enough to have, like, a full-time... You're not rich enough to have someone on retainer as, like, your personal assistant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't have anyone there every day if you only have...
So, anyway, I would have a lawn person, a house person to clean once a week.
Okay.
And then I would have... Let's see. Oh, any, like... things that I needed to do for my house, like maintenance and stuff, always find someone else does that. Yeah. I don't do that. I don't do it. And I would eat out, like, all the time because I can as a multimillionaire. I mean, I do that already a lot, but, like, every day, you know.
You go to the next level of eating out.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be just like, oh, I need to eat something. Let me go to fast food because it's cheap and I don't want to cook. It'd be like, I'm going to a nice place every day. You know what I mean?
I'm going to order takeout at a nice place just because.
Yeah, because I can.
Yeah.
Oh man, takeout at a nice place—that would be like my dream, right?
It's like you don't even want to bother sitting down.
No,
because
you're too. You're,
give me the food to go.
You're like, I want that food, but I don't care about the environment. I'm not here for that. I'm here for the food, which is interesting because I would never do that now because, like, part of the reason you're going to that place is to get the full, like, I'm spending a lot of money on this meal experience, so, like, I want to be waited on and I'm sitting nice.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's part of the thing. But as, like, a multimillionaire, you're like, I don't care. I just want the steak, you know? Yeah. Like, that's, like, your drive-through. Like, today, my, like, I'm hungry, I'll, like, go to Chick-fil-A and come back or whatever. Like, that. If I'm a multimillionaire, I call up, like, Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and I'm like, yes, I would like a ribeye to go, please, thank you, and then I'd be like, thank you for that, and then, you know, I go home and I eat it on my couch.
Ruth's Chris to go,
Ruth's Chris to go. I wonder if they have that.
I don't know. I've never checked.
it's like Applebee's to go.
But I don't think Chris. It's like that. I mean, maybe it is.
Do you think they have You know, like Applebee's to go or like Chili's to go, they have like their own like parking lots for the people.
Yeah, they have a special door you go in.
Do you think Ruth Chris to go has that?
Like, I don't think they. I've eaten at a Ruth Chris before.
I have too. I've eaten at a Ruth Chris twice in my life.
I've never seen the to-go door, though.
What was the occasion? Because you always have to have an occasion for eating
Ruth's Chris. One was I ate with my dad, and the other one was a company thing.
Just your dad? It just took you to Ruth's Chris for fun? That's nice.
It was like me and my sister. It was some kind of special event. I forgot what it was.
They probably made like a good grade.
No, we were past school. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll make something. Doesn't matter. You got a job.
Yeah.
The two occasions I've been is like, I think I graduated high school in one, and then another was like my brother did something good. I don't remember what it was there. So those are the two times I've ever been. But I mean, they do have really good steaks there, but they're really expensive.
Their service is fantastic.
Their service is fantastic. The thing about Ruth's Chris is like, a lot of times I'll go to a restaurant and I'll like spend all this money. Like, and it's not necessarily a really fancy restaurant, but like it's not, I wouldn't call it upscale, but it's like, it's not middle. You know, it's like, it's a couple rungs above like middle scale. You know what I mean?
You're spending three figures.
Yeah, I'm spending like, if for two people, I'm spending like $100, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not like Ruth's Chris, though, but it's still good. And you'll go, and maybe the food will be great, but the service is just, like, bad. You know what I mean? And it feels like you're cheated out of money a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I just spent, like, $100 on this meal, and they can't even, like, wait on me properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's about it. But at Ruth's Chris, they don't do that. They are very good.
But, yeah.
But, I remember... I had to go to the bathroom at Ruth's Chris, and I, like, put my napkin on the table, and when I came back, it was folded and, like, sitting on my chair. Yeah. Like, in, like, a nice, like, I don't know, napkin fold thing.
Yeah, they watch your table all the time, but not in a creepy way.
No, like in a corner of their eye. Kind of.
Yeah, and, like, if your drink is low, they're there with another one.
And did you know that they cook the steaks so that they're slightly underdone to your level before they bring it out to you, so they can cook the rest of it while, like, as it's served to you. Like, it's still cooking while it's served to you. So it's like, it remains hot by the time you're eating it.
Whatever. Yeah, I've been in one of their kitchens. They cook in an 1800-degree broiler, too. Mm-hmm. I think the theory is that, okay, so when you're cooking steak, you can either cook it really fast or really slow. Mm-hmm. If you cook it in the middle, it's tough.
Okay. So you need to decide one of those.
Yeah. So if you cook it extremely fast, it'll be really tender and good. Or if you cook it really slow for like 8 hours, it'll be good. Mm-hmm. But 20 minutes, that's why when you cook a steak at home, it's always a little tougher than you would get.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like chemistry or something.
I think
it's called the Maillard reaction.
Do you know the steak? The chemistry steak name. But that would be a good trivia question. Too late now.
I blew it.
Screwed that up. So did this episode just become a long extended Chris commercial?
Yes.
Because we just like went on for like 5 minutes about how great
this place.
Even though I've only been there twice. But anyway, if I was a rich person, I would get that to go. I would get that shit to go.
Same. Gets like some Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes.
You drive it to the Ruth's Chris special parking lot or parking spot. And then I imagine since it's Ruth's Chris, you wouldn't have to walk in. You're not walking in.
No, they're going to bring
it out. They're coming out to your car. You know what I mean? They'll know. You don't even have to signal. They'll just see you drive up. They'll be like, that's him. He needs his prime rib or whatever he got, you know, ribeye or, you know, filet mignon, whatever. They run out and they're like, here you go, sir. And I imagine it's not in like styrofoam. It's in like some kind of, I don't know what kind of container it'd be. But it'd be a nice
one we've never seen.
We can't even imagine it. It would be that. It's that good. Yeah. It's like gold-plated, like, something. Yeah. I don't even know. I can't even imagine it because I'm not a multimillionaire. Like,
it was researched at an advanced materials laboratory.
Right,
retains heat extremely well or something.
It cooks in the material, like, as you're driving. Like, it's really undercooked by the time you get it. But like on your way home, it's still cooking inside the the container somehow. They like engineered it to do that. Ruth Tristico. If they don't have that, they really should. Because as a future multimillionaire, that's what I'm going to want, you know.
Same.
As a person.
I think that's a great answer. Food is what would change the most.
You would just go out to eat all the time.
Yeah, and get really crazy awesome stuff everywhere.
Yeah. And you'd like, yes, because sometimes you're like, I don't feel like going out, but I don't really feel like cooking, but I want something really good. What do I do? Like, I'll just go to a fancy restaurant and get to go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
I'll just go to Nobu and, yeah, you know.
I'll just get to go. Sushi to go, you know, like your most expensive freaking thing to go. Thanks. I wonder if they deliver, you know.
Ruth, they probably would to you.
Ruth, to me, because I'm a rich person.
Yeah, just say, like, you know, I'll pay $100.
Like, I would like this. I would like to try your special steak today. Yes. I don't know why I do that accent.
That's how you talk when you're rich.
But once you break a million, you just talk like that.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. It's true. Everyone I know that's a millionaire, meaning zero people, talk like that. It's a rich person. Okay. What is the... Oh, we already did that one. You're organizing a music festival that only features one-hit wonder bands. They go on stage, play their hit, and then they leave. Who's on the bill? You don't have to do everybody, but what do you got? What's your first?
B-52s.
They had two hits.
Okay.
They had Love Shack and Rock Lobster. Please. Okay. They would be the headliner, though.
Yeah.
Because they're like... They're like two or three hit wonders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like they had a couple, they would be the headline.
They're not someone who you'd listen to their two hits back to back on your own volition.
True.
Like if I'm listening to music on my own, I'm not going to listen to Rock Lobster and then Love Shack right after.
You're not going
to
go through the entire B-52's discography.
Yeah.
You're not going to like sit down at your desk at work and be like, what do I want to put on today? It's a B-52s kind of day. I'm going to go through their the complete B-52s
discography. How about Chumbawamba?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What the hell is that song called?
I Get Knocked Down.
I Get Knocked Down.
I don't think that's what... Tub Thumpin'.
Yeah, because it's never... It's not... Yeah. You get them. You get, like, Vanilla Ice, right?
Yeah.
You'd get... Come on, Eileen people. I forget.
You know, the show sounds really awesome, actually.
The Come on, Eileen people, though, you get them, right?
Yeah.
Who else would you get? Sir Mix-a-Lot. Get him for Baby Got Back.
Eiffel, whatever. The Blue Dabadee song.
Oh, is that them?
Yeah, it's like Eiffel something.
That is like the worst song I've ever heard.
But it was really popular.
Do you remember how popular that song was in like 2000, whatever, 1998 or whenever it came out?
Yeah, I remember.
That was incredibly, incredibly bad.
Do you remember how every single time that song came on the radio, everyone would immediately try to decipher what the lyrics were?
Yeah, they'd be like, it's about someone killing themselves.
There would always be these like theories about what the lyrics actually were. No, it's just gibberish. There's no lyrics to this.
I think the biggest theory was like he's gonna murder himself or like he's gonna kill.
Like, it was really dark.
He's suicidal. It's so deep. Like, and they're like justifying the reason they like this terrible, terrible song. You know, it's like, no, you just like the awful song. Don't try to justify to me your bad taste in music, like by saying, oh, the lyrics are really deep. Like, no, it's just bad. You should feel bad, but like
yeah. Anyway, that guy would be there.
The 100 500 miles people.
You know, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I got. I think we got a pretty good. We got a pretty good one here.
That's a good lineup.
That's a good line. So they like just get on stage, play their song, and then like security would be on site immediately. Because you got to know that these one-hit wonder bands, they're going to want to like play a couple of deep tracks for you. You know, they're we got a couple more for you. And then people will be like, boo, get off the stage. And they're like, no, we're going to do this one. It's from our latest album. And you're like, no. And you got to have security to be like, nope, get the hell off the stage. Like,
yeah.
No, get off the stage. The Spin Doctors are coming on next. You got to get off now. You know,
it's the biggest audience they've had since they played at Six Flags in like
1992 or something. Yeah, they like opened for the dancing like old man or whatever, you know. Yeah. You know, in the commercial, you know what I'm talking about? Dancing old guy. The Six Flags. Look it up later.
Okay.
But yeah, they go on. They're like, all right, we're gonna play a couple more. And like, no, get off the stage. Get the hell out of here. You get handed a blank check and are told to buy the one thing you've always wanted, no matter the cost. What do you buy? This is a stupid question because if I had a blank check, I would just deposit it in the bank and then buy a bunch.
Yeah, but it has to be the thing that you always want.
You can only buy one thing.
And it has to be something you always wanted.
Yeah, correct.
A lot of the things that I always wanted are kind of stupid. And
well, that's fine. That's even better.
How about...
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything?
What do you mean you don't know? You don't know what you'd buy? What would you buy?
Maybe, like, an entire author's first edition collection of all their novels or something.
What?
Like, every Philip K. Dick book ever, all in first edition.
First edition.
That would be a good purchase.
Okay. I could see that, I guess. Okay. Or what?
Or, oh, no. Every Criterion Collection DVD ever.
Those things are expensive.
They're like $200 each, yeah.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. That's not one thing.
Yeah.
Unless they had, like, a rich person's Criterion Collection. That's, like, every they've ever made.
Yeah.
You have to be the guy that orders with Chris at takeout to, like, even like, know about that one. Like, it's not even on their website. You have to know a guy who knows a guy that's like, yeah, you want the 100 grand Criterion Collection.
You have to go to an auction house to get it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. You know that really big British auction house that's connected to, like, all the mafia people? It's called, like, Sotheby's or something?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be there.
You would have to go to one of their private auctions to get it.
It's one of those classy auctions where you don't say anything. You just raise one of those little wooden things.
Yeah.
And everyone's in a tuxedo.
I'm imagining, yeah, everyone's in a tuxedo and they're all wearing, like, the masks, like, masquerade masks.
Why are they in masks?
I don't know.
And Jason Statham is there because he's in, like, a movie. He's, like, about to kill somebody or something.
Yeah, someone's going to try to steal the Criterion Collection DVDs.
This is the next Mission Impossible right here. Yes. Like, Ethan Hunt has to go undercover in, like, upper echelon London society to steal the Criterion Platinum Collection, we'll call it, right?
Yeah, and it's like every classic movie ever, and they're all autographed by the directors and cast and all that.
Yeah, and it's some, like, limited print stuff, like working prints and stuff, and, like, like stuff that no one sees, you know?
They have original stills from photography and the film and stuff in there. Cool. And everybody is dressed up. Remember Fallout 3, the casino called the Lux?
Yeah.
Everyone is dressed like that.
So, masquerade things or whatever?
Yeah, tuxedo, masquerade masks.
I like it. Yeah. This sounds like the next set piece for, like, Mission Impossible 6 or whatever. I think we're on 6, right? Is it 6 or 5?
I think they stopped having numbers.
I think we're on 6. I think we're on 6. Mission Impossible Criterion Nation is the name of this one. No, maybe it's just like Mission Impossible Criterion, you know? Because then it sounds like, ooh, what's Criterion? It sounds critical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible Mission Criterion.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
What's the big set piece? Like, what is he doing in this one? Like, is he on a plane or is he, like, on a giant skyscraper? Like, what is he doing? What's his thing? He's got the DVDs. He's got to get out, you know. He's in London.
The most extravagant way
he's possible. In London. Jason Statham is chasing him down, you know, about to shoot him stuff. Like, it's on like a top floor of one of these.
Okay, he has to get on a train to France, and then he has to go through the catacombs, right?
Didn't he do this in, like, Mission Impossible 1?
Maybe he did.
Didn't the train thing happen already, like the bullet train or whatever that goes through whatever? Oh, he goes through the Channel Tunnel from England to France. You know, the thing, the big underwater tunnel from England to France?
And it collapses.
Yeah, mid-thing.
And he has to outrun the water with the Criterion Collection.
He's on, like, okay, so, like, he gets, like, an ATV somehow.
Yes.
Right? And like, he's driving it through the channel tunnel. And for some reason, no one else is in the tunnel. They've closed. It's a holiday or something, so no one's in the tunnel.
They let him board, though.
They let him in because he has a disguise. He looks like the tunnel. He used the face thing to disguise himself as like the tunnel inspector.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's doing like an audit or something.
Right, exactly. Okay. And he couldn't leave any other way in England because they locked the borders down because someone stole the Criterion Collection.
Right,
right. Obviously, right. You know, yes. They're like, no one in or out Criterion Collection is stolen. So he goes to the tunnel, and they're like, the tunnel's closed, sir. Like, no one's allowed to go. And he's like, oh, I'm the inspector. And they're like, okay, go ahead. Like, where's my ATV? And they're like, it's right over there or whatever. You know, because the inspector has an ATV he drives.
Yeah.
And then Jason Statham, you know, comes in. And they're like, you're not allowed to be here. Obviously, Jason Statham's an assassin. So he just shoots him. He just shoots her, right? And then he's like sprinting. And he gets his own ATV. Maybe he's on, like, a motorcycle.
Yeah, he can't be on an ATV, too. It has to be a different vehicle.
Like, maybe a motorcycle or something.
Yeah, a motorcycle would work.
Yeah, or, like, a rhino, or, I don't know, something like that. Motorcycle's probably good. Like, an old, like, 50s, you know, like, vintage style. Yeah, he gets a
motorcycle, and so how does the tunnel explode?
So, Jason Statham is, like, a military, ex-military, right? So he's got a lot of explosives and stuff on him. On his person. So he's like shooting at Ethan with like a submachine gun. And he's like, this motherfucker is gonna, I gotta pull out the big munitions for this one. And that's my Jason Statham. And then he like pulls his vest down. He's got all these like grenades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like old British grenades. I don't know, because they're in London. And he starts yes. throwing them at Ethan. This is all during the chase. This is all happening. They're driving. And then he like, one of them like, or, like, Ethan, like, whacks one of them away with his hand, right? And it, like, flies over onto, like, the wall of the tunnel. Like, near one of the beams that's, like, holding it up. Right? Yes. And it, like, blows up. And then slowly, like, creak, like it starts creaking. Yeah,
you hear really big water creaking noises.
But they don't really notice at first. They're like, what was that? Oh, it's probably just a bomb. And they keep driving. And then, like, as they're doing the chase scene, Jason says, still shooting him. Like, it's a quick cut to, like, the structural integrity of the tunnel, like, slowly mm-hmm. fading down. And then eventually it just, like, bursts. And it bursts, like, right where he threw the grenade. So it's, like, behind them, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're like, and this is, like, the end. And they're like, and they're trying to, like, outrun the water. And maybe Ethan's ATV is too slow, and he has to, like compete Jason Statham to, like, get his motorcycle or something. You know what I mean? Like punch him off of it or something.
Here's what I'm imagining. So Jason Statham's motorcycle is fast enough, and so is the ATV, but mm-hmm. Jason Statham is slightly faster because a motorcycle mm-hmm. is faster
sure,
or something.
Sure.
Yeah. And Ethan takes out a DVD from the Criterion Collection and flings it into the motorcycle spoke.
Like in
and then Jason Statham crashes. And it has to be like a really bad movie.
Like he chooses the worst one. Like he's going through the DVDs. He's like that which scene one?
In Shaun of the Dead when they're going through the
It's records. Like the same thing. It's like, which one do I toss out of here?
Yeah.
Like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Criterion. Why is that in here? Like, this is it. And he throws it. It's like, why did they make a Criterion of this movie? He tosses it.
He throws it and it jams his spokes, and then he falls down and gets eaten by the water. But the water is moving too quickly,
mm-hmm.
so Tom Cruise abandons his ATV and starts surfing somehow.
Oh, right, yeah.
Water. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a surfboard somehow. Yeah. I don't know how. Maybe that's the gadget they introduced in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Like it's like a portable thing, like it's a small little metal disc. But when you throw it on the ground, it basically becomes like a big surfboard looking thing. Maybe it's not meant to be a surfboard, but like it's meant to be like a shield, like a ballistic shield. Like
yeah, a portable. It's a super strong nanotechnology that's like, folded in like hyper origami.
And it's supposed to be yeah, exactly. And it's supposed to be like portable cover or something. Like you can throw down and it'll just like pop up like a big sheet of cover. But he's like, I'm using this as a surfboard, right?
Yes.
And then he like surfs the wave into France.
Through the tunnel into France.
And then like he has like a radio and he's calling like his backup and he's like, close the tunnel, close the tunnel. And it's like, Ethan, you're still in it. And he's like, I'm going to make it. We can't let this water through to France or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then like right as he passes the threshold out into France, like the doors are closing. Like, you know, like in Star Wars or, you know, yeah, any of those movies. As they do. And he just makes it. And then the doors close and the water splashes up against. And now he's in France and he's free as a Criterion Collection. And then like shakes hands with the French Prime Minister and like, here's your DVDs.
And the final scene of the movie, Tim Allen is there and he's like, what? You know, I saw that you threw Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Tim Allen doesn't even movie? Know. That's not even Tim Who Allen.
Was it Bob Saget?
No. Last week we were talking about Kong and you thought it was frickin' Chevy Chase. No, Tim Goodman. Allen wasn't. Yeah, no, it was Rick Moranis was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
Tim Allen in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. They should remake Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with Tim Allen.
With Tim Allen?
But instead of being like an inventor, he's like Tim the Tool Man. And he accidentally invents the device that does Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He makes it out of wood.
It's like his wife's like, Tim, what are you doing? And he's like, honey, don't worry, I'm working on
trying to fix a divot.
Trying to drill a divot hole here. And then he's like, whoops. And then, like, he shrinks the kids, which are, like, all, like, 30 years old at this point. But they're home for Thanksgiving or something. You know, it happens. Yeah. That's the sequel. The Mission Impossible 6. Because the Tim Allen cameo. No, Rick Moranis doesn't act anymore, so he wouldn't be in. Unfortunately, we could do Tim Allen. We could choose a different movie for him to throw. You know, like the Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen.
But I just the Water Boy with Adam Sandler.
Why would they make Criterion of the Water
Boy? I mean, why would they make the Santa Claus Criterion?
Why would they make? I mean, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids makes a little more sense than the Criterion. Like it wasn't well received, but it made a lot of money.
Yeah. And, yeah, a lot of people saw it.
Yeah. Like, it was a cultural thing.
That's true.
You know, that's my point for why. I wonder what, like, the worst Criterion is.
I'd be interested to know.
You know what I mean? Like, most of them are, like, well-reviewed. But they've got to have some stinkers in there. Just because that's how it works. You know? Some people want those.
Yeah, not all... You know, movies that impact culture are good movies.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that was a fun question. So, I don't even know how we started. Oh, you would buy that if you were...
Yes.
What is the stupidest way you ever hurt yourself?
Okay.
And then we're gonna get into trivia.
Do you have one in mind?
Oh, I could tell the story of the bread knife. Yeah,
let's hear the bread.
Rehash it again. I think I told this. I think the first time I told this story was like right after it happened because it happened like less than a year ago, like pretty close to when we started this podcast. But I was making a lasagna in the oven today, and I really wanted garlic bread with the lasagna. And the way the garlic bread comes in the store is it's frozen, and it's like separated in two pieces. But inside the wrapper, the two pieces are, like, pushed up against each other. So they're supposed to be separate, but they end up freezing together, essentially. So the directions state, leave the garlic bread out to thaw for, like, 10 minutes before you put it in the oven so that you can separate the pieces into two distinct, you know, halves of bread or whatever.
Yes.
Well, I did that. And it was ready to go. The lasagna was 10 minutes out. Needed to put the garlic bread in. And they wouldn't separate. And I kept yanking on them. Wouldn't separate. And I was digging my fingers in there. And they wouldn't have. And I was deforming the bread. I was like, this is bad. Like, this is not good. Like, I'll just cut this. I'll just cut it with a knife. And so I take a bread knife out. And in my infinite wisdom, I'm holding the bread knife to the side. Which you should never do with a knife. You should never, like, cut something, like, you know, at an angle.
Towards your body.
You should just never do that. But I was doing that. I was like, it's bread. It'll be fine. And, like, I think I was imagining it to be easy to do, but it was actually really hard with frozen. But I get through, like, the majority of the bread, right? But the problem is that the bread is so hard and it's stuck together that what I'm cutting is not like a continuous piece. It's like I'm just like slicing off parts of like the bread, and it's coming off like these horrible, horrible pieces. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, why am I cutting bread like this? This is dumb. So, like, I get really frustrated, and I'm like, maybe I should just cut my losses and bake the bread like this. But I'm like, no, I'm going to get this bread, and it is going to be perfect. So, like, I keep cutting, and what eventually happens is I get, like, a big fold of bread that, like, I get off that's, like, really thin, and there's, like, another fold on the bottom that's, like, part of the second half piece that's, like, laying on top of the first one that's still frozen off. And I'm like, I don't want this. Like, one of these pieces of bread doesn't have any cheese on it. I need to slice this bit of cheese that's stuck to the top, and I'll lay it over the top of the other piece of bread. So I'm now trying to cut, like, a millimeter slice of cheese bread off the top, frozen cheese bread off the top of this, like, half of garlic bread. And, well, you can figure out how that goes. Like, it slips out of my, you know, because it's brittle at this point. So the knife slips, you know, I'm doing it really fast, and I slip with my right hand, and I'm holding with my left hand, and the knife slips over to my left middle finger, and it's not a good part to cut. It's like the worst part. It's like the you look at your middle finger, you have the top of it, and then you turn it over, the left side of your middle finger, like the really fleshy bit, like near the bone,
yes,
near the first joint. I cut that, and I didn't, like, cut into it. I, like, sliced it as if I was slicing a piece of garlic bread off the top of, you know, I shaved it off just like I was trying to shave off the top layer of cheesy garlic bread. I did that to my finger. Like, I was like, oh. And once I did it, I was like, oh, that's the kind of cut I wanted to make on the bread, and it wasn't working. So, and it was good, too, because it was a jagged blade. So it was like a jagged cut.
Optimized for slicing.
It was like perfect flesh. And it made like a really jagged cut that did not heal in any good way at all because it was just like a flap of skin. So that was like a 5-minute really gory story. Stupidest thing I've ever done. Well, not ever, but like the most recent stupidest way I've hurt myself.
Did you have to go to the doctor?
No, I was just like, oh,
okay, that's good.
I mean, I probably should have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Looking back, but, you know, I was like, that's fine. I mean, my finger functions fine. I lost a little feeling there. I feel like there's skin in there still that's, like, dead, that, like, it healed on top of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's good. If you were forced to open a bakery, what would you name it? And then we're going to do trivia.
I was forced to name a bakery.
You need to have, like, a pun.
Yeah, definitely.
All food places have to have puns. It's like just the...
Otherwise, they're going under. How about...
Bill's Bakery.
No, it can't be Bill's. I'm not Bill.
Bat's Bakery. The Bat Bakery.
Bats and Snacks.
Nice! Bats and Snacks, and then there's some other rhyme. Bats and Snacks and Lots of Rats. No, that's
not No, not that.
Bats and Snacks and Jacks and Packs. Bats and Snacks.
I like Bats and Snacks.
Bats and Snacks Bakery.
Bats and Snacks Bakery. Come for the bats, stay for the snacks.
Stay for the rats. Come for the bats, there needs to be, stay for the
there
rats.
There needs to be a lot of things in the bakery that rhyme with bat. Like, yes. You have a bunch of hats.
Yes, everyone wears a hat. All like the employees wear hats. And they're all different hats, too. Like, you don't have, like, a bats bakery hat. Like, you have, like... And one of them has, like, a top hat and then, like, a trucker hat, you know.
Like a safari all the hat.
And... Yeah. And there's rats in the bakery.
Yes.
They roam around. They have them in little, like, hamster, not wheels, those, like, little pipes that they run through.
Yeah, the colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. They, like, run across the floors and they're, like, run across the walls, but they're secluded. They're not, you know, interfering with the customers. They're just kind of just there.
You just have like rat tubes going everywhere.
Yeah, just rat tubes. That's all. Bats and snacks and hats and rats.
And you can pay to feed the rats.
Nice, with the bread.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you buy. Yes.
Yes.
That's good.
You have like, it's like when you feed the koi at like a Japanese restaurant or whatever, you know, you put
you feed the rats.
You put the coin in the little like crank machine and it pops out some bread and then you're just like, here you go. I love the line, you feed the rats at my bakery. You give them like the old bread, like the stale, like the, the day old bread, you know. You give them that, the stale day old bread.
I was trying to think of a way to incorporate the rats into the bread in a way that wouldn't be totally disgusting.
I think that's it. We got it right there, right?
No, but like you could use like a rat print in the, or like a rat.
What if they like were on like a big wheel, right?
Oh, and they that powers like, a bread roller.
Yeah, they roll the bread. This sounds like a weird like 1800s like fantasy book or something.
This is the weirdest bakery ever. I would love to own this bakery.
They power the bread roller by like running on like a treadmill thing. And the same for like the thing that like leavens the bread or whatever. Like you have to like, you know, like move it up and down or whatever. So like they have a machine that the rats run on and they're like boop, 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 boop. I like it. I think it would be like a, it would be one of those places that you have to go to once if you lived in the city. Yeah. Never again, but like you'd be like, oh, we got to go to rats, the bats and rats and bats. And
if you had family in town, like from
that's
out of
where
town,
you'd go. Yeah,
we're going to bats and snacks.
It's not good, but you got to see it.
You got to see the rats.
This would be like a perfect restaurant in like a city that has like no tourist attractions. Yes. You know, like to get people from like a couple towns over to like come in. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're This is the best rat bakery in St. Petersburg, Florida, or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you gotta go. You're in town, you gotta go to the Bats and Snacks and Rats and Hats bakery. Okay, let's get into this
trivia. All right, so you're only gonna... I can make up a question.
All right, you can make one up off the top of your head.
So question number one for... All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. You need to choose your lifelines first.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to do Monty Hall, because we had our guest do Monty Hall. I'll do 50-50.
You only get two lifelines.
Okay, I'll do 50-50 and 10 second
big. I want to use 30 this week, because...
30 second. 30 second, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
50-50 and 30 second, yeah. What I got.
Okay, so your first question. Category is duck.
I love
or
it.
Or bird. I just screwed it up.
Oh, it's about a duck.
All right. The question is, ducks that eat from the surface of the water are called A, shallow ducks, B, dabbling ducks, C, veneering ducks, or D, aversive ducks.
Aversive?
Aversive.
How do you spell that?
O-B-V-E-R-S-I-V-E.
These are all... I want to say I want them to be called dabbling ducks. That just sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a dabbling duck. So you got shallow ducks, dabbling ducks, aversive, and what was the other one?
Veneering.
Veneering. I don't know that. All right, I'm going to do my...
Okay. I am going to remove veneering ducks and aversive ducks. So it's either shallow ducks or dabbling ducks.
That's annoying because those are the two that I was like,
I had a feeling.
Toward.
Yeah.
Because shallow sounds like, okay, that's like the logical name, right? Mm-hmm. But dabbling sounds like I'm a bird person and I get to name this term for ducks. Yes. And they dabble, so they're dabbling ducks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right, I'm going with dabble. Final.
B, dabbling ducks is correct.
Yes! I knew it. I knew a bird person would name it that because they're bird people. Dabbling ducks. Okay, next question. That was good.
All right. The award for best personality on Australian television is called...
Oh, God.
Is it A, a gold Logie? B, a gold Nolsey? C, a gold Dury? Or D, a gold Mozzie?
What? A gold Logie, a gold Dury, a gold Mozzie, and a gold
Nolsey.
Nolsey?
Logie, Nolsey, Dury, Mozzie.
First, I want to say these are the most Australian sounding terms.
They're all Australian words.
So you did your research and, like, these are all yes. Australian. These all right, I'm going to do my 30-second Yahoo. Can you repeat the question really quick?
Yes. The award for best personality on Australian television is...
Best personality on Australian television. Got it. All right, best I'm ready. Personality. I'm ready whenever you are.
3, 2, 1, begin your search now.
Yahoo. Best personality on Australian TV award. South Australia. Gold Logie. Gold Logie Award final answer.
Gold Logie A is correct.
Yeah! I got two. Alright, your final question on the spot.
Want me to make up a question for you?
Really fast. If you can do it really fast, yeah.
I can. So, the Korean director, Jun Ho Bong, directed all of these movies except for one.
Okay.
Is it A, Memories of Murder, B, The Ring, C, The Host, or D, Mother?
Which one did he not direct?
Yes. He either directed Memories of Murder, The Ring, The Host, or Mother. One of those he did not direct.
Did not direct.
Yeah.
I don't think he directed The Host. So I'm going to go with The Host.
The Host is incorrect.
No!
He did not direct The Ring. That was a Japanese director.
Damn it! I was like, I think The Host is a different Korean guy, but apparently it wasn't.
So there's a reason I selected this as my trivia question. I saw his recent movie called Snowpiercer. It's really good.
Oh, I saw that too. Like yeah.
Yeah.
That was like 2 years ago. Get with the times.
I just saw it last
night. I'm just kidding. I saw it in theaters. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it was in English. And did you like it? I thought you would. It was on a train and you
liked
trains.
I do like trains. How did you know I like trains? So
I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it. It was anticlimactic. Well, not anticlimactic. It was depressing.
The ending sucked, but it was a good
ending
movie.
Was depressing. Yeah. But I liked it. I liked the idea of it.
Same.
Really, remember that really gross scene where they find out what they're...
what they're
I don't want to spoil it for him. Gross. Okay, well, I think that completes episode number...
32.
Actually, I have one more question here. Do you want to do it before we sign off?
Yeah, I'd like to end on a question.
Okay. What happens in real life but never happens in movies?
Using the bathroom.
That was the one I was thinking of, too. You never go to the bathroom in the movies, like, ever. It's weird. I feel like that would take you out of the movie, though, right?
I'm going to make a movie where all the characters use the bathroom at least once.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to make a movie where it's all bathroom.
No, not. Not the whole time.
It's real-time bathroom movie.
But no, it's like... The main character's like, hey, I gotta use the restroom.
And you just
follow them into the restroom.
Oh, okay. And then it just sits there. And then it happens to every character just at certain points in the film.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Tarantino kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's got like... You got like 4 or 5 like main characters and they all have different personalities. And there's
they all
like
do
little,
something different.
Yeah, there's little segments where they go into the bathroom and it reveals something about their personality.
They have different techniques.
Like one of them washes their hands weird or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then one like uses a urinal in like a weird configuration or something.
They like put their feet in weird places or I don't know what you do.
It reveals something about their personality.
One of them is a bathroom graffiti person.
Oh, he like writes things on the stall or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for a good time, call 555-22, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
The five. The Lou five. You get it? It's the
Lou. Oh, I just got that. It took me a second.
It's fine. Okay, that's been episode 32 of the Time Bat Show. I've been Time Bat.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And everyone have a great evening, a lovely night, and we'll end on our sign off.
when the Eagles go dark,
you have to plan ahead or you die. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
6Coder with the episode there. How's that? I think we're on a roll with guests here. This is good. Are you still with me, Pat? Hello, Pat. Are you still with me? Oh, I think we lost him. I think we lost. Hold on, audience. Hello. We lost you. We lost the whole audience there for a second. They're gonna. Yeah, good work. Okay, I'll stop too.